welcome back to Bodybuilding Down Under. This is episode number 99, one off the hundo, and we have a very special guest with us today. She is the newly announced WNBF Australia president and also WNBF pro, Leah Coutts. Leah, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much for being on. We thought it was an absolute no-brainer to get you on the podcast because obviously we are leading into season A, which is also leading into WNBF Australia's second ever show, which is super exciting. But also, you know, some pretty significant stuff has happened in the life of WNBF Australia with you now taking over as president. So we thought it would be a great opportunity for the listeners and potential competitors to just get a bit of an update of where things are at. But before we jump into the heavy hitters, I just wanted to ask, how's your day going? What are you up to at the moment? Did you have a good Easter?
Easter, let's think. There's so much I've been doing, kind of long weekends escape me, but it's all good. I'm loving everything I'm doing, especially with organizing WNBF. It's new, so there's a lot that I'm learning as I go, but keeps me out of trouble. Keeps me busy while I'm not in prep. I'm missing prep. I talk to my clients and I go, you're making me miss the pain of prep.
Well, that is the trick, isn't it, for the online coaches to just live somewhat vicariously so that they don't have to prep year round. But with the Easter, did you get any chalky eggs in this year, Leah?
I did not.
Oh, brutal.
On plan. How good.
It didn't even cross my mind, actually. Is that really bad? I still must have some prep left over in me.
Or you could say boys, you're completely recovered,
right?
We're locked in.
Yeah, well, we recently discussed that, you know, DY or Mr. Yates, he's now, what is it, 80 weeks out, DY?
79 and a half coming in today. Yeah.
So It'll be all systems go from here. I mean, 79 weeks, it's practically around the corner. So no time for meals off plan, no time for chalky eggs, just time for lock-in mode, really.
The only eggs that be consumed are the ones that are protein rich.
That's exactly right. So Leah, obviously you are the WNBF Australia president, but that would be, you know, doing a disservice to you as a competitor because you're not just an administrator. You know, you're a very good competitor in your own right. And DY and I were fortunate to be over in Seattle with you last year and had the pleasure of watching you compete in person. So for those of the listeners who don't know, maybe just give them a little bit of a rundown of your history as a competitor, how you got involved with bodybuilding, a bit of a whistle-stop tour into your journey in the sport.
Sure, thank you. So my first season was season A 2022, and I feel like it was a 14-year journey to get there. So I first wanted to compete in my 20s, and my body said no. So I've had a long traumatic history of injuries with I've had three shoulder reconstructions, I've had hip surgery, I lost movement in my arm for 6 months and got told you'll never move your arm again, give up everything that you can't do. So I was a semi-professional dancer and had to stop dancing. I was rock climbing and had to stop rock climbing. I was in and out of the gym trying to be a bodybuilder and my body would just say no. 8 years after my first surgery, I had a second one and they told me you had the wrong surgery done 8 years ago. And so none of the last 8 years should have happened. So that was quite something, but I'm glad that I didn't stop pursuing answers, because if you listen to some people and they say stop doing the things that hurt you, a lot of people I think would listen to that medical advice. And so that really hurts my soul. Like there's something in me that I was just, I have to do this. This is something that I'm driven to do. So several surgeries later and a lot of rehab later. I hit the stage in 22 and I won 4 pro cards in my first season, which was amazing. And I won 2 pro shows, 1 national, 1 international. So it was a lot to take in, you know, after such a tumultuous journey to the stage and then all of a sudden having success, what seemed very quick. It was kind of a lot to let sink in and to kind of let land. But I fell in love with it. I knew I was hoping I would fall in love with it as an ex-dancer. The stage was calling me strongly. Posing, I mean, I'm a posing coach as well, but moving my body is something that brings me great joy. And as we display our physiques in our sport, I think the artistry around that is something that is beautiful. So, I feel very grateful to have had that experience. And then I knew because I qualified for Natural Olympia, I knew I needed to do a season B and I didn't have 2.5 years wait in me. So I did season B obviously last year. When I planned the season, WNBF wasn't in Australia yet. So I was doubling down on the pro cards that I had. I was wanting to consolidate the pro show win I had in Australia, which I did, which was amazing. And yeah, Natty O was the goal. And then I supported a client to go to a WNBF workshop here. And I said to Joey, who's my coach, I think we need in, I think I need to do WNBF. There's something really special about it. So we added WNBF Australia. And of course, I was fortunate to win 2 pro cards. So my figure masters and then figure open. And then that took me to Worlds, where I got 3rd in pro figure open. And I've come 2nd twice to Fit Body. So I've got a pro card missing from my set. But that's good. I need something to fuel the next season, which I'm super excited about.
Yeah, and it was amazing. No, well, I suppose it's a very unique journey to bodybuilding. And that's something I love about the sport, is that you tend to attract people from all sort of walks of life. And yeah, I think that the package you brought to Seattle when I got to, watch you at the culmination of your season, Leah, was fantastic. I think everyone who has seen you compete can really attest to the fact that your posing is really second to none in terms of just poise and grace. And you did such an amazing job. And I'm sure that Fit Body Pro card is just around the corner. But you alluded there to the fact that you are a posing coach and a coach as well. So how did the coaching side of things come into the fold? Because I understand you have another role professionally outside of that, don't you?
Yeah, I wear so many hats at the moment. So my career before bodybuilding is in academia. So as well as dance, my background is in music, and I taught piano for 15 years. I have a Bachelor of Music. I did my honours. I went into research around how people learn, which is directly related to all of the literature around effective coaching. And then I did my PhD in mindset transformation. So understanding how the way that we think about ourselves impacts the way that we show up. So when it comes to learning a new skill, how it's to me as a coach and as a teacher at the time, it was like, how can I help people to get out of their own way? Because we self-sabotage, we have so much potential and we don't realize it. And then we think that I just wasn't good enough. Whereas it was, if we let ourselves believe that we can do so much. So my PhD took me on into like psychology literature, but it was really practical because I was looking for what does that mean on the ground? Because so much academia can live cerebrally, we can geek out on all of the knowledge that we can acquire, but how do we implement? That can look very different to what you read in a textbook, especially because humans are messy, gloriously messy, but we are. So that was my PhD. And then now my academic role is I oversee the Bachelor of Music at the Queensland Conservatorium. And I've lectured in mindset transformation for music teachers, and I also lecture in music research. But saying that, while I was a few years before I started the actual bodybuilding, I became a fitness coach. And I was working with especially the mindset stuff around people wanting to pursue fitness. How do we build it into a lifestyle? How do we develop habits? How do we develop our relationship to ourselves? Because really, to me, bodybuilding and any fitness, it's a psychological sport more than anything else, right? So, and that's the stuff that really fascinates me. So I'd been doing some fitness coaching on the side. I worked with an online fitness company. And basically got to implement everything I'd been doing in my music coaching world to fitness. And then once I had my successful first season, my posing coach at the time asked whether I wanted to come on board as a posing coach. And straight away, I'm like, if you're trying to teach someone any skill, mindset is part of it. We know this. Every online coach knows this. And to me, it seemed like there was a gap in posing coaching where, I can only speak as a woman. So the male space, I'm going to speak as a woman now, but often we lose relationship to our body, like the way that we move, the way that we connect with our body. I think that a lot of the times we think the job of our body is to carry our brain around, and that we are our brain and we just happen to have a body. But when you actually learn to connect with yourself and you're more present and in your body, that then is when presence in life, which then extends to stage presence, really can shine. So then I developed an online coaching program that combines mindset and combines posing. So like it's group mindset work where we've got a pod of coaching with women, and then they have posing with me as well. And all of my, I've got a few comp prep clients and fitness clients, then they all have access to the mindset stuff. But I love it because I feel like I have such a unique background. And sometimes you can think, I'm an academic, but I've been a dancer and I've been injured and I've had all of these issues and now I'm a bodybuilder. But when you put it all together, like that makes you who you are and what you have to offer. So yeah, it's been a really exciting journey in a way. I haven't had to segment myself. I've had to bring myself, all the pieces of me together in a way to allow me to kind of provide the best value to others.
Yeah, that is fantastic. And you'll have to forgive me, Leah. I had no idea that in and amongst all of that, you had a PhD as well. So, you know, we're in rarefied air here. Yeah. Yeah, it is. I mean, if Dr. Helms can get a nice doctor interview, then you deserve one as well. So my apologies. But I think that is a really good lesson, because obviously the online coaching space is one that a lot of people want to move into. And they always talk about not niching too early, which I think it definitely has its value. But, you know, in your case, you know, you've been able to culminate all the facets of your life to get you to a point where you can provide a very unique service. So I think that's a really good lesson for people who perhaps want to do something similar. Now, what about the WMBF side of things? Because I could probably speak for all of the boys in that we were fairly surprised and probably a little bit shocked to hear that Seb was stepping down. So can you just give people a bit of background as to sort of what led to you now becoming the new president, El Presidente of WMBF Australia?
Sure. Well, first of all, I want to say that I always love hearing people following their passions. And so when Sebastian said, like, he's obviously pursuing, he's got another career that he's pursuing and it's something that he's wanted to do, and now the opportunity and the time is right for that. Like, I have so much, I always have respect for people following their passions. And I'm also extremely grateful, not only for what I've been offered, but also that he has stayed on as vice president. So there is continuity with the federation. Like, he hasn't dropped the federation because he doesn't like it. It's nothing like that at all. So I love that he is still involved, and that we have that continuity as I step in as president. And like I said, like, this is a new role for me, so I feel like I've got that support, and the handover, you know, is being seamless from the athlete's perspectives. I think that's really important. But yeah, he reached out and said, I had messaged him about sponsoring WMBF as a posing coach. And of course, he knew how serious I am as an athlete because I went to Worlds, I'm a pro, you know, wanting to be involved in the federation. And so my name was, I suppose, in his mind. And he just asked for a chat. And I thought it was about the sponsorship opportunities. And instead he shared his news and asked whether I would like to take on the federation. So it's not a decision I made lightly, of course, because the responsibility is a large one. And if there's anything, like, to me, it seems logical to me in that I'm quite, and I like personal growth. Personal growth is like my number one value and how you can contribute the most, especially in the realm that is your passion. And for me, obviously, that's this sport. So number one, I was extremely touched and honored, had the conversations with the people I needed to have the conversations with, checked whether it is something that I can actually take on board and that I understand the role. But underneath all of that, there was just this feeling of, you know, you're not going to say no. It just makes logical sense to me that I would say yes to this opportunity because I feel like I can do good. And I want to do good in the sport. And the federation touched me, like I said, just from the first workshop I went to, the care for the athletes. And I think when you have a federation that is 35 plus years old in nearly 60 countries across the globe, and you have that backing and that kind of history and development, that gives you a lot of confidence in what you're representing and who you're representing. So I had wonderful chats with Bob, who's head of WMBF And it just seemed like everything was yes, yes, yes. So I jumped in.
Fantastic. Well, I personally think it was an exceptional decision to onboard you as the president. I think you've certainly got the criteria and tick all those boxes for sure. And I think in terms of your experience, not only as an athlete, but as a coach in many facets within the coaching space, having been an athlete in the last season, are there any sort of constructive changes that you would like to implement moving into the upcoming season A show?
Yeah, there's a few, and I will say that this was in obviously with chats with the judges, chats with Sebastian, because I think after any show or any event, there's always a period of reflection. So some of these things I'm about to mention, like Sebastian had on his list already as well. So this has been a collaboration. But the first thing was when I went and checked out the venue, for those who competed last season, and Lawrence, you'll remember this, the tanning area is exposed to the elements, right? So it was windy. The tanning tents were wanting to blow over. Like it was a real challenge. And we're coming into a May show. So if it is windy, it's going to be cold. And there's going to be, practically naked bodies out there. So it is going to be protected. I'm looking at solutions to protect it from the elements, just that little bit more. And the area for tanning is going to be a little bit larger. More of the space is going to be used for tanning to make it a bit more efficient as well. That means that we can dry in the tanning tents instead of having to go and stand out in the, in the wind like this to dry. So that's one small change. We're also going to, I've changed the run sheet. So I put the run sheet up yesterday, I think it was. And this is mainly to help the figure competitors. So I am being slightly biased just from an athlete experience. The most common crossover in categories is figure and fit body, for obvious reasons. The symmetry round is the same in both. If you fit in one, you might fit in the other. They are closely related. And now that we have masters and open for both, so there's four classes when you take into both, if a competitor was to do all four and they were back to back, that would be a long time on stage. And as athletes, if you're on stage for a long time, all sorts of things can happen to your physique, right? And especially with fit body being last, and that's where the conditioning really matters the most. So we've just changed the running order to go figure, men's bodybuilding, fit body, men's physique, bikini. And that way, if coaches need to do emergency strategies to get that figure girl looking ready for fit body, or if there needs to be more of a pump up or different strategies to pull, there's time. So just little tweaks like that. And one thing that I think they did really well in Worlds was that after the show, athletes could go and talk to the judges and receive their feedback on the day. Now, one thing, and I got confirmation today, that we are going to put in a longer break in the middle of the day and then time at the end of the show for those athletes to be able to talk to the judges on the day to get feedback. So I think that's going to be a nice thing that I don't think as athletes we often don't. I don't know, I'm one of these people, if I'm at a show, I'm sourcing the judges because I want to talk to them. But not many athletes, I think, do that. So this will be that kind of invitation to go and talk to the judges. Mm.
When I judged over at the WNBF New Zealand show, I was really fond of the fact that Simon had sectioned off the day into sort of quarters and allowed for these intermission breaks in between of sort of 10 to 20 minutes or so, and it was like a quick break to the bathroom, or there was a couple of competitors that came up and asked questions and asked feedback and things like this. And I think it's awesome from the perspective of, being in touch with the athletes and giving them feedback and giving them advice, because I feel like people want to sort that information pretty quickly, like not have to wait a few weeks to, get that feedback on how they presented. But I also think from a judge's perspective, it almost allows you to just take a quick break to sort of reacclimate your eyes to then the next set of physiques that are going to come out that you're going to access. And I think, you can probably speak on this behalf, but I feel like you can only really sort of, in terms of psychology, like you can only really sort of focus and concentrate for so long before you need to like take a little bit of a breather before you can then get back into assessing.
Nobody wants a hungry judge. Have you heard that, like the literature on like if you have to go to court and like for people who have court hearings later in the day, they have a lot less chance of getting off lightly than if the judge is fresh in the morning. Like, it's fascinating. You do not want hungry judges. So break, or judges who are distracted by their bladders.
Yes, yes, absolutely. No, that's incredibly exciting.
You know, the other thing about having those breaks built in, and one thing that I like loved about WNBF Australia, we ran on time and like to the T when it came to the schedule. And I think having those breaks built in there also helps with that. So I just want to say, like, as an athlete and as a coach, but also as an athlete, one of the most stressful things for me is when Joey laughs at me because I'm like, when do I take my salt? And he's like, why are you so obsessed with when you take your salt? And it's like, because I don't know when I'm on stage. And that was the thing that I fixated on. But it helps when you know the time you're on stage.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I mean, that was another thing I was going to say, is just those intermission points just allow for you to be more on target, you know, in relation to when you need to be up there. And I think that's just a common stressor for every competitor. I think, you know, we do want to be meticulous, and we've all spent, you know, as we know, 30 weeks prepping or 25 weeks prepping for a show, and you're at that, you know, pointy end. You want to know exactly to the minute, what am I doing right now? What am I doing between these timestamps? Now, one of the questions you actually answered a little bit before, but it was some of your experiences at Worlds, and I guess what things that they do that's substantial or fantastic that you would essentially want to bring to the WNBF, you know, Australia shows. Is there anything that you can think of aside from what you mentioned that you'd like to action within the shows here?
There's one thing, and I'm really curious about Lawrence's experience, and I don't think WNBF Australia show in season A anyway, I don't know, will be like, Worlds is huge. So I don't think that we have the same size show, obviously, as Worlds. So this isn't necessarily something I'm thinking of implementing straight away. But one thing about Worlds I loved was how they tanned. And Lawrence, I don't know if you thought the same, but we were actually scheduled that we know when you're going to go on stage. So you're not being tanned until we tell you it's time, and we're going to call out your number. So you, and they dry you off as they, like, it was a production line of tanning. I've done 10 shows and it's the only production line of tanning. It was amazing. Lawrence, what were your thoughts?
Yeah, I've actually spoken about this, and me and Eric spoke about it as well when I had it on my podcast. So we both agreed it was so well done, not only in the way that they structured it in terms of, you know, the tanners could see the live stream, they could sort of count ahead and know who's coming up next. And then they were also communicating with the, I don't know what the term is, but wranglers, backstage wranglers, to then sort of go, Marshalls. Okay, yeah, marshals, there you go. So they sort of knew, okay, these people are about to go on, these are next, then those people need to tan, these people need to glaze. Like, it was just so well coordinated. So not only was it very organized, but the quality of the tanning was also very good. And in terms of the attention to detail and how meticulous they were with the end product. So I completely agree. I think that approach was really, really well done, especially for a show that size with that many competitors.
One thing we will do for base tan. So base tan is done the day before, and I love that we have access to the venue the day before. Is last time there was the athletes brief, and then there was registration and tanning, and there was a lot of people there. So we're actually going to split it up into an athlete briefing for males while the females get their rego and base tan done, and then switching over, just to make that a little bit more efficient. But I also really want to encourage, this is for the women in heels, bring your heels along the day before and practice on the stage. Like, you have access to the stage the day before. And for the guys as well, use the stage, practice. If you're a bodybuilder and you've got a routine, do it on the stage so you can actually get that visualizing aspect. You can settle in. Obviously, the lighting and everything isn't going to be the same as on show day, but you can really land in the space. I think that can really help an athlete's nerves, especially if it is their first time or their first season and they're a bit unsure. Because a lot of the stress, I think, comes from the unknown and what's not in our control. So having the venue the day before really should, I think, use it as much as you can so that you feel prepared the next day.
So I actually have a question about, like, how your Worlds experience was. Like, you know, you got to go over there as a pro and compete in the figure division. How was the actual experience? I know it's a little bit different from Lawrence's on the amateur day, but how was the pro day? Because you got to be there for both days.
I did. Well, it's interesting because it's the first time I've ever competed in back-to-back days. So that was an experience. It was also the end of prep, so the body was feeling a bit worse for worse for wear. For me as well, I was traveling on my own at this point. So I was traveling with a client and really good friend of mine who I did Natty O with, which traveling, when you have two people in prep traveling together, the conversations are ridiculous. So that was like so many good memories. And then when I went to Seattle, it was just me. So that made it a little bit harder in some ways. Like I was staying in the hotel opposite the venue, but I was on my own. I mean, I had support back home, but physically it was a little bit more isolating. So that side, I just know I wouldn't do that again to myself. But the venue itself, the experience, the caliber of athletes, like insane. To me, if you're going to compete, and I have felt this practically every show, you want to be scared. Like you want to be scared of the people around you and you're like, holy shit. So I think any world stage will give you that feeling. But worlds, I looked at the bikini competitors and I'm like, I'm scared of half of them.
Yeah, I remember seeing some of the bikini girls like on their show day and they got like fully boxed off glutes, like nearly got striations running through them. Like the girls that were in the pro lineups and like the top of the amateurs, even the girl that won the amateurs that went on to win the pro show the day after and looked very, very impressive. I must say, bring a whole nother level of conditioning. So exactly what you said, like even every competitor like deserves to be there, especially on some of those pro days. You look at those lineups and you're just like, holy Lord.
Yeah, it is inspiring. And I mean, it's also such a joy and a privilege to be one of those who inspire others. Like, I don't take that lightly either. Like, I get inspired by all my clients and first timers and everyone. But, you know, it's different when you see the level that you're aspiring to be and to know that you hold your own in that lineup. There's something really humbling and special. Like, you don't take that for granted, you know?
Oh, 100%. I think standing in any pro lineup and placing as well as what you did at arguably the biggest and best show for natural competitors is no short feat. Really, really impressive. My actual next question here is, now that you've competed at Worlds, where do you think the Australians actually rank up in there? And then what are your future plans for the Federation to step it up and, you know, have us at that top? Because I know that now as the president, I have no... I know for a fact that you would want Australia to be representing us quite strongly over there at the Worlds.
Yeah. I mean, I have to say, you know, we've already got a world champion from last season. So, and like, yeah.
We've also got Lawrence here too, so don't knock him down.
Seriously, the team that we took over, we all deserved to be there. And I think that's amazing. And I think one thing potentially that I was, cautioned about maybe is that it might take a while to build up an international Australia team, and that's okay because we are a young federation in Australia and we're still growing. I already know three athletes going to Worlds this year, you know, and they're the ones I know of because I already have connections with them. So I think that given the experiences from last year and given it's such an amazing experience at an amateur and a pro level, I reckon we're going to have an amazing Australian team again. It's only going to keep growing because the thing with WMBF, like, yes, I just want to say you have to compete in Australia unless you are a pro and we don't have a pro show running in order to compete at Worlds. So as an amateur, you cannot compete at Worlds unless you step on the Australian stage because you are representing Australia. So that's one thing. But other than that, you've got nearly 60 affiliates. Like, you can, where do you want a holiday? Go and compete, you know, while you're there. I think that is a really nice, that's what I'm looking forward to in my next season, is which countries am I going to compete in before I hit Miami, if that is my season. And if you know when Miami is, you know when my next season potentially is.
There we go. Cool. It's been dropped.
Well, Leah, there might be three people getting ready for Worlds, but you can shoo Jack Radford-Smith in for 2040 for his next season. I'm sure he's going to make it across.
But I heard you were doing back-to-back years, Lawrence. So that's another one.
Yeah. Yeah, Gemma doesn't know yet. I'm actually going to tell her after this call that prep started yesterday. Oop, busted.
God, can you imagine?
I actually have one final question on the new post that you made, which is the HRT and like some of the medical exemptions. What's the go with that? Because I know there's been many clients that want to compete. They've actually asked me even stuff like ADHD medication, which you brought up in the actual post. So what's the go with that?
Yeah, I think when it comes to any testosterone replacement therapy, obviously that is just a no-go. Like because the benefits to hypertrophy, they're just too well known, right? So when it comes to other medications, if you have a diagnosis, then the medication evens the playing field. It doesn't give you an unfair advantage if you have a medical diagnosis and a script that then, you know, helps you to optimize your body in a way that would align with a quote unquote normal body. So when it comes to ADHD medications, a lot of those are on the banned substance list because if they're abused, they can give advantages such as focus. They have potential side effects of appetite suppressants. So there's a lot of potential competitive edge it can give someone if it is abused. So I think there's a lot of confusion because WMBF has such strict drug testing protocols, which is one of the biggest benefits as a natural athlete. It can be interpreted as I'm on this medication, therefore I can't compete. But with medical exemptions, it means that your script has been checked to make sure that you're not going to be getting a competitive advantage, and you have to declare that you haven't abused that medication in any way. And HRT is interesting because it sounds like it should just be banned. It's hormone replacement therapy. But if you're a woman in perimenopause, in menopause, it is a treatment for that period of life. That let's look at the age of the average fit body. I don't have the actual stats, so I can't give you the average age. But, you know, we are older competitors. We're generally in our late 30s, 40s, into 50s, into 60s as fit body competitors. And most competitors will be moving at some point into perimenopause and menopause and potentially need treatment. So if HRT was simply wiped out, we wouldn't be able to grow, pardon the pun, that category. We would have a lot of trouble. So when I posted that, the number of female athletes who reached out to me, number one, to thank me because they had just been told it would be a no-go. So it was something that did need clarity. And also number two, to kind of be that advocate for understanding that time of life. I'm not that old yet, but understanding that's coming up for me too, and in the next 10 years at some point. But yeah, anyway, so I think if you're in doubt, send over your prescription and let's have a conversation. Yeah.
I'm actually planning on getting at least 60 kilos above stage rate and then just running Ozempic for a few weeks. What are your thoughts on that, Jack?
I mean, if it works, it works, right?
Yeah, I've got an in with the president as well, so I'm sure that'll pass the sniff test.
Yeah, I've also got a dodgy doctor over in Dubai. Said that he'll be able to get it over the line.
Oh, dear. No, well, that is one thing that I think is hugely important, Leah, you know, like having that understanding, because for a lot of these medications and these treatments, it isn't black and white. You know, there are going to be areas of gray. So I think it's great that WMBF is considering those. Now, before I throw it over to Jack for the next line of probing questions, we're going to pause for our obligatory Power Subs ad, as I have a cat meowing in the background. So, ladies and gents, we just wanted to quickly remind you that Power Subs does support the Bodybuilding Down Under podcast. So please do support them by using the code BDU when you shop online at www.powersubs.com.au. And that BDU code will net you 15% off. So as we've discussed at length, DY has crunched the numbers. He's worked out that you actually make money by using this code. So please do so. Jack, over to you, mate.
Yeah, so last season I had the pleasure of attending the WMBF show, and it was an excellent venue, but I wanted to ask about the venue, and from my knowledge, like, it'll be held at the same location this season, but are there potentially plans for other seasons to change the venue, or and also like potentially other states, like similar to how other federations will have different shows in different states and then culminate in a nationals? Like, has there been much discussion around that?
Can I ask you a question before I answer?
Of course.
What was your experience of the venue as a spectator?
I liked it. I think that my only constructive feedback, I would have liked to be a little closer to the stage. Like that's the only thing I'd say, which is not really anything to do with the venue. It's more so just the seating placement. Mm. Yeah.
The venue itself, I've locked in for season A and season B this year. That was mostly as well because when you take on a new project of this size, you kind of don't change the things that you don't need to change straight away for the sake of changing. So being at the venue, like it has good space. I have looked at other venues just out of interest as well. And it's interesting how difficult it is to find a venue that ticks all the boxes. Mm. So for this one, the athlete area, the athlete resting area has great mirrors. We will be bringing pump up equipment and mirrors as well. So that's a good thing. But just in terms of the space for the athletes, as well as the size of the venue, and the setup just seemed, I mean, the tanning area, like I said, I'm making small adjustments to that. But in terms of beyond this year, I don't know yet. I will definitely be scouring options to make sure I make the best option possible. I know that lighting at the venue was good. It could have been better, but I'm going to also look to make some changes to the dressing of the stage, let's say, so that it is more black behind the athletes instead of having a banner with other faces, because in terms of photography, picking up faces when you've got faces as photos behind the athletes is also a challenge. So same venue this year, and I think that also provides a little bit more, again, it's just about certainty for the athletes at this point, because I can speak intimately about that venue and know what's coming, not only for this season, but also for next season.
Mm. Yeah. I mean, having competed at different venues and having been to many as a coach, like I think it does tick a lot of boxes. Like it has, I personally think it's quite inviting. The layout is very easy. And has a nice backstage area, like you just file through very efficiently. So it's not complicated. Parking. Exactly.
Free,
yeah.
Yeah. Free, like a lot of parking, a lot of outdoor space. I actually liked as an athlete being able to escape and just find some grass just to ground myself before I got on stage, or like just to go get some fresh air. I feel like at some shows, I felt like I can't get away from other athletes. And sometimes you just need to not absorb the energy of other people. And I feel like this venue allows for you to find your own little space when you need as well.
Mm. And in terms of other states, like I know it's still early days, but like it's just out of interest, and I'm sure some listeners are interested as well.
Yeah, definitely have plans to grow. Mm. Which state will come first and when will all of that will unfold after this first show. So for me, it's like my priority is get this first show, and then I can look to going, okay, well, what's season B? How's 2025 looking? And yeah, really to see where the opportunities are, because I know there's athletes traveling to Brisbane for this show. This athletes traveling from other countries as well as other states. But it does sound like the desire for WNBF Australia to hit other states is there. And that's really exciting because it shows that people want to be part of a federation like this, where we do have those drug testing standards. And we, you know, the way our show runs, I just like that it's appealing in other states. I'm hearing a lot of support there, which is really good.
Mm. And I guess for some competitors who are on the fence competing with other natural federations in Australia, like what is the main drawing card to WNBF, do you think, compared to other natty feds?
So I think the draw card is also something that puts people off, which is a really strange double-edged sword, and that is the polygraph. I think that, again, it's people are scared of the unknown, and then they don't want to go there. And I think, you know, I've used this analogy before, but, you know, if you pass a cop car, you think you're in trouble. I mean, you might have some reasons to, but like if you walk past a security guard, like you're on edge as in, oh, what if, it's like that with the polygraph. You will feel guilty just because of the situation. And I'm, you know, like Lawrence, you would have experienced something similar maybe as well. But I would say just remember, nerves is not the same physiological response as lying. And it's a cool experience. How many people get to do a polygraph? And also how many people get to actually go, I am natty, and there's the results of my P-test that you can see on the WNBF Australia website. Like, to me, that's exciting. I've been drug tested before. This is the first time I've seen results of my drug tests. And I think there's something, just integrity. This, it's so integrous that you actually get the results from things like that. And the polygraph is there as a huge deterrent for those who are not natural, but also as kind of a rite of passage. I always think, you know, train to make them doubt if you're natural and then compete with WOBF Australia to show you are. That's kind of, and I think that's the draw card for it as well. Our standards globally, just next level. I think there's something really special about the standards of the physiques that we want to see as well.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, for sure. And I think that, you know, even just seeing recently, like the figures that WMBF put out in terms of, you know, the amount of money that was invested into, you know, proper testing is just super encouraging to see that, you know, the people that are competing in these natural federations are in fact natural. And yeah, you're right. Like the WMBF's policy with the polygraphs, like to a lot of people is quite jarring. Like there was sort of a bit of a discussion that we had last year where quite a few people, you know, chose to pull out of the show or didn't end up competing with WMBF because of that. And I guess to that, you would almost say, well, it's doing its job, isn't it? Yeah. You know, if some people aren't ending up going ahead with competing.
Exactly. And, you know, what I loved was when we did our first WMBF Australia workshop this season, we spot tested the pros who were there. Like they had no idea. And we did urine off season urine testing. And that's another thing where the Federation is so serious about making sure, what can we do? Like, you know, like we can do spot tests unannounced. We can do polygraphs. We can do urine tests for the winners on the day. Like as much as possible, we're ensuring the integrity of natural bodybuilding. And so if you're a natural bodybuilder, like why wouldn't you want in on that?
Yeah, I completely agree. And I think it's going to be a really exciting time. And I suppose as a final question, Leah, yes, it's maybe a little bit more vague or a little bit more overarching, but, you know, what do you see as the ultimate goal for WMBF Australia? It could be 5 years down the line, it could be 10, it could be 20, but where do you ultimately want to take this federation in the long run?
I mean, obviously there's growth within like going interstate and things like that, but I think there is so much potential with knowing we have New Zealand as a neighbour, knowing that we have Malaysia and we've got Taiwan and we've got other close countries within Australasia. Like Worlds is the other side of the world. Like once we grow and as we continue to forge connections with other affiliates, there's got to be opportunities to create some phenomenal shows, because it's going to be a while till we have enough pros to have a pro show. So, you know, let's get some collaborations happening and make an Australasian show a thing.
I love that you said that, because my experience is going over to New Zealand and judging there and speaking to Simon and speaking to Eric and you know, wanting to create and strengthen that relationship between countries. I mean, it's realistically not that far away, you know, on an international flight. So it'd be so cool to get team members from Australia to go over there and compete, you know, and vice versa. I believe Simon has confirmed that there's some competitors coming over from New Zealand to compete. You know, this year, which is just awesome to hear. And I think, you know, all of this is only just going to assist in the growth as a federation as a whole.
Exactly. And one thing that does excite me, this is a little bit off topic maybe, but I'd be keen to hear your thoughts. One, and because I've only been in the sport as a competitor, like I said, since 22, but even in the last few years, the number of competitors who might be in the fitness category and other federations wanting to push into figure girls wanting to pursue fit body, like there's only an amount of time before women's bodybuilding actually becomes a thing here. I think that'll grow, but like Worlds bodybuilding was huge for females as well, and the like caliber of athletes, so inspiring. I think now is, it's like the time is ripe for women to celebrate being muscly, not skinny. And that's only a good thing for the sport, because WMBF Australia, obviously we have standards even of our bikini athletes where they're more conditioned than you would see in other federations. And then when it comes to figure, fit body, I'm seeing more women want to move up. And that really excites me too, because there's just so much potential as an athlete in this sport if you're willing to put in the time and grow. And we see it, I think men's bodybuilding and men's divisions is inspiring as a woman, because you see the potential for growth there. And I think that we have the same. We're just starting to embrace it a bit more, I think. So we'll see that more in WMBF, because we celebrate muscle on women like I haven't seen before. Like, can I just share a quick anecdote? I'm not going to name the federation, but overseas, my first overseas show, I was meant to do figure and physique. And when I rocked up, they said, we're not doing women's physique because we don't like muscly women around here. And I was a physique competitor the day before my show being told we don't like seeing muscle on women. So WMBF Australia, again, I think we celebrate muscle in a way that I haven't seen before. And I think that is really empowering as a female athlete. I'm sure it's the same for, for men, I feel it's the same. Like, you look at men's bodybuilding, the standards, they're like insane. I get so inspired by men's physique on stage. So again, I can only speak as the female athlete I am. But again, I think WMBF Australia has so much growth to happen in that space.
Yeah, I think that's really well said, Leah. And the final question, which arguably is the most important. Now, when we were at the Cheesecake Factory following your historic day, obviously in Seattle, you'll have to remind me on the exact specifics, because I know that you have different dietary requirements to most, but were you able to have a cheesecake on the day?
No, and I was so disappointed. Like, how can the Cheesecake Factory not have a vegan cheesecake? It's one of the easiest cakes to veganize there is. So I had to wait till I got home.
So you did have, when you say home, what do you mean? Australia?
Okay, so when I got to Australia, I went out and celebrated with my family, and my family bought me a massive vegan brownie. Like, it was huge. And so I had a little bit at dinner. And as we were driving out of the car park, I said, I'm going to save the rest for tomorrow morning. And by the time we got out of the car park, I'd eaten it all.
Absolutely perfect.
I made up for not having cheesecake.
Well, exactly right. But I think you can even agree, Leah, that just being around several slices of cheesecake, it just has an effect on a shredded physique like no other. I think we discussed it with Becky as well. Obviously, DY knows from assessing my physique in the bathroom after the cheesecake at dinner that it's the best look that you can possibly get.
100%.
So all we're hearing is, Leah, you were basically flat all the way back to Australia before you got that cheesecake.
It's the worst place to be flat. Yeah, worst place to be flat on a flight. It's no good. But Leah, we just want to say a huge thank you for you coming on today. And, you know, we're all very happy to see that you've got the reins at WMF Australia. I think that there are few people in our space that can do as good of a job as we expect you to do. So I'm very confident that the Fed is in great hands, and it's really encouraging to hear such a passionate and enthusiastic person who's going to be, manning the helm, as they say. So before we leave and say goodbye for the podcast, I just want to give you the opportunity to plug anything you want to plug, any important dates, any Instagram handles, the floor is yours.
Thank you. So we've got two workshops coming up. The 13th of April at 3 p.m. is our information and posing workshop at World Gym in Stafford. But because of the number of athletes we have, remote, rural, interstate and international, on the next day, there's going to be an online information session. So if you have questions about categories, crossovers, criteria, all the C's, posing, how the show will run on the day, expectations, anything like that, that's going to be an awesome information session. And actually, we'll be joined by Simon from New Zealand, who's going to be in that information session as well. Of course, season A is the 5th of May, which is 5.5 weeks away. And it's important that once you register, you've got your polygraph to book in, as well as your tanning, hair, makeup, photography, all of that stuff as well. So don't leave it too late, because there are some boxes that need to be ticked. Instagram, WMBF Australia is WMBF Australia's, funnily enough. And I'm Leah_Marie_FigurePro if people want to follow me too.
Wonderful. Well, Leah, thank you so much. It has been an absolute pleasure to have you on, and looking forward to the season to come, and of course, watching your own journey unfold as well.
Amazing. Thanks for having me.